and welcome to our second episode of the Women on War podcast.
We're your two not-so-average museum gals discuss various topics on warfare, all the while drinking and slinging some jokes.
I'm your host, Jillian Drappola.
And I am your host, Alyssa Atkins. And this week, we will be starting our two-part episode on a well-known American feud. But before that, your gals need to let you in on what they're drinking. Jill, you want to get us started?
Yes, I am drinking a cinnamon maple whiskey sour. Whiskey was a very popular drink at the time because it was cheap. The ingredients didn't have to be imported, thanks to all the cornfields we have, and it made a pretty good substitute for poor drinking water. So what are you drinking, Alyssa?
I am actually drinking a craft beer from Greenbrier Valley Brewing Company, which is perfectly named for the man who is well known all throughout the state of West Virginia, as well as the Appalachians. It's called Devil Ants IPA, and it's actually one of my favorite IPAs from the Mountain State itself. Although, once again, if you know now, it does not beat two-hearted. But with that being said, I might have some moonshine on standby. So there you go. With that being said, you know, we're drinking. However, we really got to dig our bootstraps deep into the Appalachian Mountains and discuss the great Hatfield and McCoy feud that spanned several decades on the West Virginia and Kentucky border, primarily along the Tug Fork of the Big Sandy River.
Now, I'm so glad that we're talking about this story because it's very interesting. Ironically, you're related to both sides of this feud, so I feel like we have a good person to weigh in on this. And you live on the Virginia-West Virginia border. And from what I understand, the Hatfields of what was then Logan County, West Virginia, were led by William Anderson, Devil Ants, Hatfield, while the McCoys of Kentucky were under the leadership of Randolph Old Randall McCoy. Despite West Virginia becoming a Union state and granting its own statehood in 1863, the Hatfields fought for the Confederacy. So did the McCoys, except for Asa Harmon McCoy, who fought for the Union Army. So we already have the Sharks and the Jets situation going on. I can only imagine them snapping their way across a field, but can we also talk about these nicknames, Old Randall and Devil Ants? I mean, this is some Western movie character names if I ever heard it. I feel like we should be spinning guns on our fingers with this, or at least wearing sheriff badges.
I mean, it is pretty interesting. For a fact, Devil Ants, his nickname kind of came from apparently multiple different sources. It could have came from his mother. It could have actually came from Old Randall himself as they served in the Confederacy together. Also, it could have been given as a counterpart to one of his cousins who was Preacher Ants Hatfield. And so it's just kind of differentiating between the two of them. Now, I do have to agree that I can just imagine like snapping their way across the fields or the meadows that are in these rugged Appalachian Mountains. If you've ever been to this region of West Virginia and Kentucky, the mountains are literally just stacked on top of each other. And so it would just be interesting seeing them come from, okay, for now I'm a Southern folk, a holler, not a hollow, but coming out of a holler and just snapping away. It would be kind of funny and interesting, and now I have this vision in my brain. You know, to get back to that serious note of it, I do feel like a historical referee with a story. It's definitely interesting considering we know that West Virginia had become a state under the premise of its army fighting for the Union. So really, West Virginia should have been a Union state. However, the region, which is deeply rooted, like I said, in the mountains of Appalachia, did not fight for the Union like they promised. Or at least the Logan County area, Mingo, or what is now also Mingo County, and the counties that literally border where I live. And so when visiting that area to see Blake's family, you can tell that there are an ample amount of Confederate monuments and odes to the Confederacy, such as Rebel Rock, which is actually located within the area that he grew up in, and also to the Hatfield McCoy specifically. So with that being said, it's kind of like the computer joke, Control-P, and the printer just won't do it. It's like, hard pass, not happening. So I feel like right now this is kind of a very similar situation with the Hatfield McCoys, right? State of West Virginia will be fighting for the Union, and the Logan County region is just like, well, we're not going to do that. So pew, 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 scatter everywhere, right?
I can totally see this. They can scatter like the emus did. A little tie into our first episode there. But so you have the Hatfields and then you have the McCoys fighting on the same side. except for one person, which I can totally see would cause some political disagreement in the families. It's bad enough having political talks at family events. Now, I'm not one for too much political conversations or discussions, but I feel like that alone would have caused the families to just out that one person, like, you are now the black sheep of the family, and be done with it. But no, there were some other pretty interesting things that kept this feud going, because we all have our family dramas, and this one just gets escalated more and more.
This is just America's great family drama. Like, you, yes. It's just, it's almost its own, now I don't want to say opera, but almost a Shakespearean play that has, like, all these tragedies in it, and so many causes as to why this feud really got deep. So that, you know, going off of it, one of those causes is actually kind of under speculation that could be either a standalone event or it actually started the feud itself. This actually goes back to Asa Harmon McCoy, the one who fought for the Union Army. Now, during the Civil War, there was a raid that occurred in 1863 that killed Union General Bill France. However, that raid sparked into action the Kentucky Home Guards, who were sent to take the leader of the Hatfields, which was Devil Anse himself, and his men. One of France's men, Asa Harmon McCoy, which actually was also Randall's brother, came after Anse in revenge.
I find that's really interesting that you had two brothers on the same family fight, you know, one fought for the Union Army, one fought for the Confederacy, which was very, like, I don't want to say it was common at that time, but, like, you hear a lot of stories the more and more that you dig into Civil War history, especially with, you know, what sides of the family fought where. But when Devil Anse found out that Asa Harmon McCoy was camping out near his house, he sent his cousin to confront McCoy. Though, sadly, Asa Harmon McCoy was killed. Why do your own work? Well, I feel like he was the first godfather. Like, he's going to take you to the mattresses. But I digress.
I mean, it's definitely possible, because Devil Anse, you know, he's very well known. And perhaps one of the reasons why he got the nickname of Devil Anse was because of the type of person he was. You know, there's so much speculation as to what his character truly was like. And that being, you know, just really to continue, what possible thing could have led to the feud really just finally having this big powder keg explode? One of the other things that could have happened was that there was a slew of court decisions that helped to fuel the feud. So in the late 1870s, Devil Anse Hatfield got into a land dispute with McCoy's cousin. Devil Anse won the land dispute and was granted the entire 5,000-acre plot of land. So this literally increases the influence of Devil Anse within this region. You know, he owned a lumbering company. And so, well, if you are in that region of Appalachia, you have a lumber company and you have influence of whether it's your own workers or just maybe being that affluent or affluent person in the community, it's going to happen. But so, you know, at this point, I'm thinking about it, Devil Anse is really a Confederate lumberman. So I can understand why he was feared throughout the Mountain State. Lumberman.
And then you have, like, both. Like, it's terrifying. And also, like, seeing pictures of him is kind of scary, too. I mean,
on that note, though, like, talking about the pictures. So the History Channel, you know, actually taught history for once.
At one point.
And for once. No. And aliens. But the History Channel back in like 2012 or 2013 did the Hatfield McCoy's miniseries during Memorial Weekend. And I mean, it's Kevin Costner, who I love greatly. But Kevin Costner looks pretty similar to Devil Anse. So it's kind of like you look at him and you look at how intense Kevin Costner is in the, you know, in the miniseries, and you're like, was Devil Anse really like that? And then you look at the actual pictures of Devil Anse, and you're like, oh, this is what my dreams are gonna be haunted from for like 3 weeks straight.
Yeah, especially so if they have like blue eyes in like photography back in that time period. Blue eyes, they almost showed up like white. And it's like, oh, maybe you really are the devil. The devil is coming.
Maybe. The devil is coming.
Devil Anse himself. Yes. Yeah. But I feel like Devil Anse, like with his lumber company, he definitely played Risk as a kid because he built his empire from one county and then he went from there. Like he just built on one county and then, you know, just kept going. But I feel like we can make this story even more interesting outside of taking sides with the wars and land battles. Let's throw some romance in there. like a Romeo and Juliet situation. You know, Rose Anna McCoy and John C. Hatfield, who actually met at an election event in 1880, which I feel like is super romantic with political rallies and banners and all that. But Randolph McCoy, of course, did not agree nor like this budding romance between the two. So later on, Rosanna went to be with John C. in West Virginia. And I feel like they successfully achieved the plan that Romeo and Juliet didn't. However, a posse of McCoys rode to the cabin, took John C. prisoner, and set out for Pikeville Jail. Rosanna then gets Devil Ancy Hatfield involved, who gathered his own crew to cut off the McCoys and rescue his son. Somebody get me some popcorn. I need to watch this 1860s version of the Virginia West Side Story because, you know, this is Wild West meets music. I can imagine this as a musical. I think it would be hilarious.
There's your big break, Jillian. You just need to write the Hatfield McCoy West Side Story version with some Shakespearean, you know, prose in there and everything like that. It'll take off. It'll be a huge hit.
The weirdest mashup. I don't know if I'm going to have this drink again, but like, we'll see. We'll see what's going on. Cause this story is very much a mashup of a lot of things happening.
Just scratch the podcast. We're not doing Woman on War podcast anymore. We are now we're just creating the West Side version, West Side Story version of Hatfield McCoy's.
Yes.
There we go. Here, can we start snapping our fingers? Like,
yeah. Y'all don't let this flop.
We can't. But I mean, maybe you spoke too soon of the plan, though, because going back to historical referee, after, you know, the couple remained apart, Rosanna specifically was very much in love with John Z, but he ran away. Rosanna gave birth to a daughter, which she named Sarah Elizabeth McCoy, in the spring of 1881. However, the baby died of measles later that year. Mm-hmm. John Z, though, would, of course, marry again because he was apparently the pretty one in the family and married four times in his life. But before that, he met Nancy McCoy, which is the daughter of Asa Harmon McCoy, who'd been killed by the Hatfields. Remember, we got to back it up just a little bit. That's one of the things that could have caused this entire feud. However, going back to Nancy and John's date, they married on May 14th in 1881.
These families must have been huge. I mean, what were we talking about earlier? I think, you know, before we started drinking, you had mentioned that Devil Ancy was one of 18 children.
Yeah, he is literally one of 18 children. How crazy is that?
I mean, seriously, what are the odds of, you know, Nancy McCoy meeting John C. Hatfield? I think small world, seriously. But you have the Romeo and Juliet situation. You have a former Union soldier and a McCoy being killed, court orders. And you think that that alone would have been enough causation for the feud to truly take off. But no. Something very petty is about to happen, isn't it?
I mean, I feel like, to be fair, I feel like Nancy McCoy marrying John C. Hatfield was very petty. So the first petty thing, actually, this entire feud is fairly petty. It is like the Carrot Army from episode one being extremely petty. Nancy McCoy actually had a nickname, and I think it was called, she was called the Black Eyed Beauty, and it was because her eyes were very dark brown. But even if you look up this picture, which, by the way, I will gladly post a picture of Devil Ants Hatfield as well as just basically all of our main historical figures. We'll post them on Instagram so that you can see what they look like and know what we're talking about, especially with Nancy McCoy, because when you look at her, you're kind of like, all right, you're a badass. Like, you know what to do. And I feel like she was coming out with a vengeance, right, for her father. And that's maybe the only reason why she married John Z.
But ulterior really motives.
Petty, hello.
Yeah, very true. But I think, I mean, I feel like something even more ridiculous is about to go down.
Oh. Well, of course, that's why our series right now is focusing on obscure wars. So really, obscure wars tend to have something super in common. Always in common, really.
Like a very ridiculous reason, something that could have been settled very easily. But wasn't a hog involved? Like, this is baking me crazy.
Yeah, indeed. There was definitely a hog. In fact, if we go back to one of the very first court appearances and court orders that we actually discussed a few moments ago, 3 months after that, an order or after that ruling specifically, there was an additional court hearing. So many court hearings between McCoys and the Hatfields. And Randall McCoy stopped to visit Floyd Hatfield after this, and who was a cousin, well, Floyd Hatfield, I should say, was a cousin of Devil Aunt. So while visiting, McCoy saw a hog that he said bore the McCoy marking on its ear. Floyd Hatfield denied the accusation, and the two were hauled into court with preacher Anderson Hatfield, who is a Baptist preacher and justice of the peace, to settle the suit. Because, you know, having a Hatfield as a judge in a Hatfield versus McCoy case is totally fair.
You know, I'd like to know how close they were to these hogs. Like, who has that good of eyesight? Was it just planned that they would happen to be that close to the pigs, like a setup, or could have just been a mark on the pig? Like, you know, how they have like their own like natural markings. I feel like we're back in school where the teacher says, just put your name on all your work. And I don't know, maybe that was just me, but the lesson here is to clearly label your hogs, you know. Now, settle the dispute. Both Hatfields and McCoys served as jurors, which is, you know, super legal. But Randolph's nephew swore that Floyd Hatfield owned the hog and Floyd won the case. So on June 18th, 1880, the same Hatfield relative who came to testify in court was killed in a shootout with Paris and Sam McCoy, who were then sent to prison for their respective crime. Because, you know, you can't just go shooting people over pigs. It's just, can't do it.
No, you definitely can't do that. But as you said before, it's like the wild, wild west of the Appalachians. What can anything say? You know, anything goes. They're all outlaws essentially at this point. And a lot of them actually did live relatively as outlaws. You had a lot of Hatfields hiding out and a lot of McCoys hiding out, especially because, well, more McCoys than anything, because the Hatfields, going back to them being so affluent in a lot of ways, a lot of them were jurors, and not jurors specifically, but justices of the peace, like preacher Anderson Hatfield. And you had so many of them that were law enforcement or anything along those lines. And so really the Hatfields kind of had an upper hand, especially in the very beginning. Now, when we really think about it, it's so interesting because, like, as you and I were talking before we started recording, so much of this is actually pretty present still today, not necessarily with the Hatfield-McCoy feud, which we can get into in a little bit, but having influence in some type of form, whether you're a lumber baron or a lumberman, or you are a justice of the peace, or you are law enforcement, still in that region of Appalachia, if you have anything of those, or you're an owner of a natural resource business, you literally can sway everything. And that is actually still the case today in that area, which is pretty unfortunate. And that's one of the reasons why, like, to get serious, guys, we learn history.
Yeah.
So we repeat it.
Yeah.
So it's just fascinating when your family history showcases a feud, you know, that had the hog as the leading cause as to why they started a feud. Wow. My family's really interesting. That's pretty fun. I mean, you know,
we all have our own family dramas, right? Stunned. I'm stunned.
I mean, all you can be is stunned. Like, this feud is just, you're like, wait, that happened? You're like, okay, I can understand the feud happening. Wait, the hog was a tipping point. Not a cow being a tipping point, right? Because you would tip cows. The hog was a tipping point. One of my favorite things was always telling professors all throughout college, you know, if we got into American history or even during like Civil War and Reconstruction, and telling them, oh yeah, I'm actually related to, as you mentioned, Jill, I'm related to both sides on one specific side of my family. And they look at me, they're like, some of them are like, oh no, there's no way. There's no way. That feud is, you know, it's still going on. And then I'm looking at them like, I can show you my family. Just like, here's me proudly with like a genealogy like book with my family tree. Like, here is the white side of the family with all of my relatives. Most of the time, too, it caused them to have that look of amusement and doing the whole, how does it feel knowing your distant relatives had a feud over a pig? And so I would gladly say, it's as great knowing that the moonshine they distilled wasn't going to make you blind. So there you go, professors. Done and over with.
You know, you got to keep that eyesight sharp so you can tell your pigs apart. So I say cheers to that.
Well, yeah, remember, you got to mark those pigs unless you want a Hatfield to go and steal one. So mark your pigs, folk. just remember that. We do thank you for sticking around for our second episode in part one of the Hatfield-McCoy feud. But stay tuned next week to know more about that pesky hog, as well as the fate for the rest of the Hatfield-McCoy clans.